You're listening to Abstinence After Sex.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Abstinence After Sex. My name is Bethany, and that was my daughter Olivia that wished you a happy Thanksgiving. I hope today is very happy for you. I hope that you eat all of the food and you laugh with your family and friends and you just enjoy today. Okay, today we are going to talk about how to be thankful when God seems distant or silent. Most of the times when I do this podcast, I teach from my experience and things that I'm battling with. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that deals with this. It's just certain times in my spiritual journey, it's like I have highs and lows. So when I say highs, it's like I'm all in for God. I just want to go to church every day. I want to tell everybody about Jesus, and like I'm just on fire. And then I also have lows, which means like sometimes I just go to church and it's just, I'm just going with the motions. I really don't feel like doing my devotional. I really don't feel like talking to that many people. I act weird with the people that I do know. So that's what I mean with spiritual lows. And lately, this past week, I've been feeling low. Like, I've been feeling like God has been silent, hasn't really been talking to me that much. And I believe that he did that for a reason so that I could do this podcast. So today we're going to talk about what to do or how to be thankful when you feel as though God is being distant or silent. And today we are going to, and today's main scripture is going to be from Mark 5, 21 through 36. So before I even read the scripture, I wanted to think about just the idea of God being distant or God being silent. And I had to go through some scriptures because I know that the scripture says God will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is true. If you read Malachi 3:6, it says God does not change. So he's not going to change his mind or change what he said that he was going to do. If his word says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, then he's not going to leave you. Numbers 28:19 says God is not a man that he should not lie. So he's not lying when he says that he's not going to leave you. So if I know, and if God told me that he's not going to leave me, that can only mean that the reason why God feels distant or God feels silent to me is because I moved and not God. Because if God never changes, God doesn't lie, and God said that he'll never leave me, then the distance can only be myself and my fault. James 4:8, and I said it to you before, James 4:8 says, the closer that you are to God, the closer that God will get to you. A lot of times I feel as though we blame God for his distance, but it's primarily what we do, how we act. And sometimes it's not even that God has gone away from us. It's mainly just our perspective of the whole thing. So we're going to dive right into our scripture so that you guys can get some context. This is a common story. It's a common story, but we're going to look at it in a different way, okay? So it's Mark 5, 21 through 36. It says, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of a local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell to his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hand on her. Heal her so she can live. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around on him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched him. For she thought to herself, if I could just touch his robe, I would be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel her body, she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. There is no use in troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Okay, so I know that was a lot, but we're going to look at it today in the perspective of Jairus, okay? Jairus' daughter is sick. So he comes to Jesus. He's like, Jesus, I need you. Like, my daughter is dying. Like, you need to hurry up. Let's go. Let's go, because my daughter is dying. And Jesus agrees. He said, okay, let's go. Let's go to your house. Let's go heal your daughter. At this point, if you're Jairus, you would be pumped. You're like, yes, come on, let's go. The Lord just told me that he is going to make what I want happen. And in the midst of going to his blessing, in the midst of going to go heal his daughter, while they're walking, Jesus stops and turns around and looks for somebody else. Can you just imagine how Jairus is feeling right now? It probably took Jairus a minute to notice that Jesus wasn't walking with him anymore. And then when he turned to look at Jesus, it seemed as though Jesus's back was to him. Meaning Jesus didn't notice him. Jesus didn't respond to him. He was praying. Like, you know how you like get it. Like, you're in your prayer closet. You're praying, but you're not getting no response. You're like doing all of this, but nothing is happening. Nothing is moving. Not like how it was beforehand. The first thing that Jairus did, and that's important that we understand, is that Jairus stood still. And how do we know that Jairus stood still? We know that Jairus stood still because when the messengers came, Jesus overheard him, which means that Jairus did not keep walking when Jesus stopped walking. He stood still and he stayed in the same place that Jesus was. Even though he felt as though, or even though he saw Jesus turn his back to him, it looked like Jesus turned his back to him and was looking for something else and was looking to heal somebody else and was talking to somebody else while his daughter was dying, he stood still. He did not leave. If that was any of us, you would probably even interrupt Jesus. You're like, Jesus, you just told me you was going to heal my daughter. Why are you talking to this lady? She's healed. Yes. Okay. Congratulations. Let's go. But Jairus didn't do that. He stood still. He stood still and just let Jesus do what he had to do. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible where it says be still or be silent. Perhaps the reason why God seems distant or God seems like he's silent is because you kept walking and Jesus was telling you to stand still. When you felt as though things weren't moving progressively towards your blessing, you decided, all right, well, maybe Jesus is just helping me halfway. Let me make it happen this way. Let me do this, this, and that, and tire myself out and try to bring something that someone else told me was dead. I'm going to try to bring it to life myself, because obviously God is not moving on my time frame. And I want to make it very clear that when I say stand still, I don't mean do nothing. So if you listen to the last podcast or the last show, I talked about while you're waiting for your blessing, prepare for it. So there's a difference between preparing for something and trying to do everything yourself. Preparing for Thanksgiving meal means setting up the table. If you don't normally cook, if you're not the chef, you're not going to go into the kitchen and start throwing stuff in the oven and start making moves because you're not the chef. When we say prepare, when I say prepare for the dinner or prepare for your blessing, that means set the table, do your part, and have faith that the meal is coming. Stay in your place, stay out of the kitchen. The second thing you have to understand is that you have to have faith in the teacher and not the timing. This right here is the hardest thing for me to do because of patience. This basically was a testing of patience. Like, in Jairus's head, his daughter is dying. He wants to get to his house as soon as possible. You want to get to your blessing as soon as possible. You don't want to wait. But Jesus, he did not have to address this woman. He did not have to turn around. But him turning around was one, to acknowledge her, because she was still on the ground trembling, acting scared. Sometimes God has to shift away and turn away from you, the person that's mature in your faith, to encourage somebody else, to let them know that they are healed. Because people are out here healed. They have Jesus. They're new to the faith, but they're not acting as though they're healed. So you have to give God a time to work on somebody else, and you have to mature. You have to have a different perspective and understand that you've been walking with God. God is never going to leave you. He is not going to forsake you. He just had to shift for a second. He had to shift for a second to help somebody else. But he is still having everything in place. He is still taking care of everything that's at home for you. God is omnipresent. He can do all things at once. So yes, it might not be happening in the time frame that you want it to happen, but it's still going to happen. So I also believe it was a testing not only of patience, but just of spiritual maturity. When Olivia was younger, she used to get praised over like saying words like mommy, daddy and stuff. She used to get praised about walking and stuff. But now she gets told to speak regularly. Now when she walks, it's not like a big deal. We don't clap when she walks because she's growing up. We expect more out of her. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So you need to stop getting upset when God doesn't clap his hands when you do stuff that you did last week. When you do the small accomplishments that you did last week, because God is expecting you to grow. You're still talking baby talk and expecting God to clap his hands. No, boo, you need to grow up. God is waiting for you to grow up. To whom much is given, much is required. So instead of being upset that God isn't clapping his hands over you giving that dollar, you're like, God, but I gave to the homeless person. Yes, you already know what to do. You're supposed to do that regardless. I don't have to clap my hands for you every time. Now, how about you have more faith and do something else for me and grow up? The last thing that we see Jairus do is ignore the opposition. So he ignores the people that said, your daughter is dead. And it's not that he didn't hear them. He heard them say that your daughter is dead. But Jesus, he was standing so close to Jesus that Jesus had the opportunity to jump in and told him, do not be discouraged. Have faith. But it's hard to ignore the opposition if you spend more quality time with them over God. Whatever you spend the most time with, that's going to be your truth. So yes, you can do your devotional every morning, but what is 30 minutes compared to like 3 hours on social media or 5 hours watching Netflix? Whatever you consume the most, that becomes your truth. So yes, you could be like, well, Bethany, I'm reading my devotional every day for like 10 minutes. I'm not even going to say 30 minutes because we speed God. Our timing with God is so short. We rush God like, oh yeah, let me read this little paragraph, read this little scripture, and start my day. And I'm not saying you can't watch Netflix. I'm not saying you can't listen to your music. I'm not saying you can't be on social media. But maybe just limit that time. And I'm not saying you have to read your devotional every second of the day. It's just balance your time. Balance what you want out of life. If you want more blessings and more God in your life, then put more God in your life. It's that simple. It's really that simple. We like to make things complicated, like, oh, I have to go to church every day. No, just put more God in your life. The word is God. The Bible says the word is God. Just put more God in your life, and you'll have more God in your life. You'll have more blessings in your life. You'll have more peace in your life. You'll have more stability in your life. But whatever you're consuming, you are going to get. You reap what you sow. It's that simple. And when I say opposition, I want to make it clear that opposition does not always have to be someone on the outside. So in Jairus' case, it was a messenger. It was someone on the outside, somebody saying that your blessing is dead. And sometimes we do have stuff like that, but I don't have stuff like that. Most of the time, my opposition is a thought. And that's primarily what everybody's opposition is. It starts with your mind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," meaning physical, "but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Everything starts with a thought, you guys. Opposition is anything that makes you doubt what God proclaimed over your life. Satan knows that if he can get you to think that there is no hope, if he can get you to think, well, maybe this God thing is not for me, or maybe God just doesn't want to talk to me right now, or maybe God just doesn't want to deal with me right now, or maybe there's no hope, maybe life is going to be like this forever. If he can start with a thought, everything starts with a thought. If he can get you into that mindset and repeat it over and over in your head and put different things in your life to make you doubt what God told you, then he's won. Why? Because if you think that something is not going to work out, you're not even going to prepare for it. Who prepares for stuff that's not going to work out? If you know that you're not going to win a race, are you going to train for it? No, you're going to be like, girl, I'm going to just walk this race because I'm not going to win it anyway. So I might as well just, I don't need to go to the gym because I'm not going to win. I'm not going to prepare. And what is that? That's just mindset. That's literally just mindset. So how do you change your mindset? You change your mindset from what the things that you surround yourself with and what you consume. In that whole scripture, Jairus said nothing, which means he was thinking. He was thinking in those moments. He was thinking. It doesn't say that Jairus said anything, which means everything was going into it. Everything was in his mind. He was thinking like, oh my God. My daughter is dying. Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you talking to her? But there's probably another voice in his head that was like, "You, it's okay. It's okay. He's turned around, but it's okay. Don't lose hope. It's all right. He said he was going to do it. Do not lose faith. He said he was going to heal your daughter. Stop listening to the opposition. I know you see his back, but he's still on his way to your house." And then Satan brought somebody else, a messenger, an outside force. "Oh, your daughter is dead." Jairus still doesn't say anything. He's probably thinking in his head, oh my goodness, my daughter is dead. My daughter is dead. He said he was going to help me. He said he was going to heal my daughter. But she's dead. There's no hope after this. She's dead. They just told me she was dead. And what does Jesus do? God knows everything. He knows he was having thoughts. He knows he was having thoughts. He said, "Do not be afraid. Have faith." Jairus said nothing. Why? Because he was thinking the whole time. He was thinking the whole time. You have thoughts running in your mind. Most of the time we go through life and we don't even talk. Everything is in our head. We're thinking. And we say hi and bye to people. We have small little conversations. But most of the things that go on through life are running through our head. We could be sitting in church thinking about stuff. Worrying about stuff. Everything starts with a thought. In the past podcast, we talked about, what if you confessed your thoughts? Most of the time when we sin, we confess the actual doing of something. But if you start with that thought, your blessing starts with a thought. Your failure starts with a thought. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We are not having a physical battle. And I feel as though, because that's how it's portrayed out in the world, that every time we fight is something physical, we don't give our mind the stability that it needs, which is Jesus. Don't base your actions off of your feelings. And it's really hard. It's really hard for us not to base our actions off of our feelings, because we're physical. Like, we're like, oh, I don't feel like doing this, so I'm not going to do it. But Christianity is not about how you feel. It's not about what feels good. It's about growing. That's what Christianity is about. It's about growth. It's not about feeling good. Do you think that Jesus felt like going to the cross? No, he did not. Do you think Paul felt like going to jail? No, he did not. It's not about your feelings. And the moment that we understand that it's not about how you feel, you'll stand still. You'll stand with God. You'll keep reading your devotionals, even though you do not feel like it. You'll go to church, even though you do not feel like it. You will praise God, even though you do not feel like it. Why? Because it's not about feelings. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not about how you feel. It's not the physical. It's thoughts. It's everything that you think about. So you have to change your mind before you can change anything on the outside. So when you feel the shift, stand still. Do not move away from God, because if you move away from God, you will not hear him. Have faith in his timing. Have faith in him, who he is. You have to have faith in God's timing. You have to have faith in God's choice and how he's going to bless you also. If you keep reading, I suggest that you keep reading. I urge you. It's a really, it's short, but it's really good. When Jesus gets to Jairus' house, he tells everyone who doubted, who's laughing at him, who said that the daughter is dead, he tells them to leave the house, to leave the room. And Jesus heals the little girl who everybody thought was dead. He heals the little girl. There are a couple of things in that. If you do have outside forces, if you do have things on the outside, people or social media that's steering you away from what God said that he was going to do, you have to get it out of your life. You have to get it out of the room. Sometimes God is not going to heal you in front of certain people. Sometimes God is not going to heal you in the midst of certain thoughts and belief systems. And I know a lot of times we go to church and be like, oh, God is going to prepare a dinner in front of your enemies and stuff. Most of the times we're waiting for God to prepare that dinner, that full meal in front of our enemies. We want to boast about our blessings in front of our enemies. But are you okay with God blessing you and giving you what you asked for, but not making it public? Do you really want that blessing, or do you want the applause that comes with that blessing? Like, literally, think about it. If God gave you everything that you wanted, could you just take it and not tell anybody? Would you be okay with not posting it on Facebook? Like, look at God blessing me. Oh, yeah, this happened, that happened. Are you okay with that? If it feels a little weird, if you feel like, well, I want to tell somebody, I'm going to tell my mom so my mom can tell everybody, then it really won't be me telling everybody. No. Are you okay with having that blessing and it not be public? Jesus told everybody to get out of that room. Only a few people could be in that room. Only a few people can be in your life when you have that blessing. Are you okay with that? If you feel a little uneasy about that, then maybe you don't even want what you really want. Maybe you just want the applause. Maybe you want everybody to think that you have it all together. So you have to have faith in his timing. And you have to trust and understand that sometimes God will have to bless you without everybody around you. And without your opposition around you. And you have to change your thoughts. You have to change your perspective, because everything starts with a thought. So everything that is going against what God had told you, you have to let it go. You have to get it out of your life. That's all for today. It's short and sweet. Very simple. I do not like to complicate things for you. I want you to go and eat your dinner and go have fun today. But just understand that everything starts with a thought. Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. Make sure that you eat. Make sure that you laugh with your family. And just thank God for everything that he's blessed you with. Thank him for everything, and thank him for what he said that he was going to do, because it's going to happen. But just be thankful about it now. Don't wait for it to happen. Be thankful about it now. All right. I will see you on the next show. Goodbye.